Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
Oh, was that too loud?
That was too loud.
Sorry.
Kyle's not here. He's recording his album.
In Atlanta.
And so we're...
As one does.
As one does.
Atlanta. Yeah.
Huh.
I got in a car crash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
I was at the Improv that night. It was like Wednesday night. And I are we okay on levels?
Yeah.
Okay. So...
I might be distracted during this one just because I'm going to be watching the levels.
This is the most important story I've ever told in my life.
Oh,
this
fair.
Is my moth, and you're distracted by levels?
Oh, you, all right. Yes. This is, you lived, though.
I did.
We could start from there. And then
okay.
She lived.
I'm alive. And then I go, as you know, you don't go up Highland, you go up Cahuenga, right?
So yeah,
you're dumped on the 101 and then have to go cross 10 lanes of traffic to get to Barham. Okay. So I'm going up Cahuenga and I stop where Cahuenga stops and you make a right on Barham.
Yep.
And I'm going right on a red. So I pull out a little bit and I see a car coming. So I stop again. And the guy behind me goes into me.
Oh, there it is. Rear-ended.
Yes. And I was not injured. He was not injured. He was
good.
A Lyft driver. And
oh, shit.
His passenger was, I think, insane. It might have been a blessing in disguise. Because then
right.
The guy just sort of walked out and started talking to himself very loudly and just walking up Barham. I'm like, that's what a crazy person does.
Yeah.
So
the passenger of the Lyft
walked
himself.
Yes.
Got out of the car and just kept walking.
Correct. So the guy, we waited for 20 minutes for the cops to come, and he kept telling me they're not going to come, and I didn't believe him, and then I did believe him because they didn't come.
Right.
And then I was texting our lady chat, and everyone said they're not going to come.
They never come anymore.
So yeah, we just exchanged info, and I still have to get the car fixed and all that kind of stuff. It's a pain.
How
in
bad?
The ass.
How, like bumper stuff or?
I think the
body bumper, work though, right?
A little body work. Yeah. And the rear left turn signal is, you know, not showing up.
I have a guy.
Okay. I want someone right next to me though. I don't want to have to drive more than two exits.
Okay, then
that's my
it's
goal
not happening
in my life.
And then what happened? Okay, no. Yeah, so yeah, you're not going to want my guy. Plus, you're going to go through this guy's insurance, right?
Yes.
The Lyft guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, you don't need my guy.
Yeah.
My guy is essentially, he's a cash guy.
Oh, Armenian? Is that?
No, he's Thai.
Oh, I thought that was code.
It's code for Armenian.
Okay.
He's Thai for code.
Okay.
Who doesn't know a guy? We all know a guy.
You know, I used to live with that guy.
The Russian guy.
Yeah, but he knew everybody. He knew all the guys.
Yeah, he did.
All over the world.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
You know who knows a guy?
Huh.
El Madrigal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear? Yeah, he's just a guy who knows a guy. And it's not bad to know a guy.
It's great.
I find it enormously
There's a separate
soothing.
Separate economy of just guys.
I'm just knowing guys who
I've
can
known
fix
guys.
and in some cases, gals.
Sure.
I don't like the word gal. What's wrong with the word?
I think gal's okay. I think it's coming back.
All right.
I think it used to be sort of corny, and now it's sort of corny in a beloved way.
Fair enough. Well, I say let's take back the night.
Okay.
And let's take back the gal. Take back the gal. But what I will say this, a couple things happened to me today.
Right.
Everybody changed. I was so busy today, I could not organize. Everybody wanted to talk to me on the phone for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, no, I have this, and then I have this, and then I have this. And all three of those people pushed it, canceled it, wanted to reschedule. And so I could have talked to any number of people. I could have had lives. And there's nothing that irritates me more is that when someone does not value my time.
Right.
I try to value other people's time.
Mm-hmm.
I try to show up on time.
You're very courteous.
I do what I damn well. That's right.
Yes.
Other than that, I did gloriously record A Dork For Us today. And I've recorded like three in the last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did Matt Weinhold about Christmas horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just did what could also be Christmas horror movies with Aaron Foley about Hallmark movies. The Hallmark, Lifetime,
mm-hmm.
those craptastic movies.
I never watched them.
Me neither. But I watched the end of, just in prep for this, I watched the end of one.
Yeah.
And the beginning of another. And they could have been the same movie, but they right. were not. Because yeah. they were, but she was, it was fascinating. I guess they're all white, they're all straight.
Mm-hmm.
And Netflix is doing them now because Hallmark has a channel.
Yeah.
Lifetime has a channel or a playlist,
mm-hmm.
and now Netflix has a playlist, and they're the only people who are doing people of color. Any diversity at all?
I'm glad Netflix is continuing to not put me in comedy specials. That's all, when you say Netflix, that's all I hear. Oh, well, they are hiring. They're still using people. It's just not me.
Yes. Didn't you know that they're going through Forbes now?
God, that's right.
How
your
funny
list.
Would it be if they
took everyone on the veteran comic list?
Yes.
By the way, never wanted to be a veteran comic ever. So fuck you who made that up. Thank you. I'm a comic, and I'm still here.
Were you bit by the comedy bug? Have you ever been
God.
Bit by the comedy
yes,
bug?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Hey, did you hear Louis pulled his...
I just wrote his name down.
Yeah. It was. This is
no,
the
he
best.
Didn't pull it out again this time.
It was the lady
He
on...
was at the Cellar doing a set, and I guess that's not
last
news
night.
Anymore.
Last night. Yep.
And because I didn't read about it, so I guess we're all... That's another fact of our lives now.
Yeah, now he just gets to do stand-up.
So he was on the show, and a woman who I don't know, but everyone else seems to know.
Mm-hmm.
Is she a stand-up? She's not a comic, right?
Her name is Claire Randall, and I'm going to say her name because it's a public tweet.
Yes.
And it's gotten 46,000 likes in the last 18 hours.
It's crazy.
Because she went last night and saw him.
Yeah.
And her...
Or she was at the show and he showed up. Was he on the bill?
I don't know. It says, hello from your friend who just got asked to leave the Comedy Cellar for telling Louis C.K. to get his dick out on stage. And what I like is she was probably asked to leave because she was harassing him.
Heckling. I mean...
But isn't it harassment when you just unsolicited say something or make
sure.
somebody do something?
Sure, sure, sure.
You see where I'm going.
I see, exactly. You have ironically pointed out the hypocrisy.
Of the comedy song.
Yes. It is heckling, you know, and I'm fully 100% against empowering the audience on any level, no matter what's happening. Guess what? Your job is to show up, shut the fuck up, and laugh when I tell you to laugh. That's your only job, okay? And if I ask you a question, you answer it, okay? And then you let me make mincemeat of you. That's your job, all right? Oh. You don't get to be funny or shout things out. But as a woman, I'm like, fuck yeah.
As a woman, I want all women to insist that he pulls it out every time he goes on stage.
I do think the best way to deal with him on stage is to have female comics go up after him. You know, and have, if you're going to book Louis at the Cellar or any place, so it's a showcase room.
I would follow him.
Populate the rest of the show with female comics. You know, make him only perform with women.
Oh
you
my
know?
God, that'd be kind of amazing.
That would be amazing.
Why?
Great theater for the audience.
Why have you been hiding this theory?
I don't know.
This is the greatest theory in the world.
But I mean, even, not that the women would even have to mention it, but
at
just
all.
The fact that their
at
presence
all.
Is there.
Yeah.
It's a reminder of the power differential and what he did. And it's just sort of a reminder. And hey, you can't always get away with that shit because we're here. And
right.
We go up on stage
other's.
Too.
Yeah. And we have each other's back. So if you pull your dick out, we're all going to just mock you or make you put it away.
Right.
Or whatever.
I wonder if he can't still be doing it, right?
He's totally still. Okay. So I am hanging out with a bunch of comics,
right.
Some of them fancy.
Right.
And the stories are coming out.
No. I mean, since he's been caught, he's still doing it?
Well, he comes up.
Okay.
Because.
In conversation. Right.
And because I guess people have.
Jackie's writing furiously.
I have written a name. You don't have.
Oh, well, yeah. What do you mean? But this is kind of public knowledge.
Except for that this person was telling me that it the comments were taken out of context.
Oh.
And they, what, I, you know, fuck this.
I'm like,
well, I mean, the thing is who's anybody listening to this is like, Jesus H. Christ, just say.
I know who you're talking about.
Okay, so Sarah Silverman was on Howard Stern.
Right.
And on Howard Stern, she said that Louis C.K. pulled his dick out and she didn't care.
And then said,
and then it, what it was, it made, but what it was is it was
but
taken
she also
out,
said, like, you know, he'd do that or we go to a movie. And you're like, what? Those are your two options? Like, I honestly, when I read that, I felt like she doesn't know she's a victim of something. Like, it's, you know how if you are a victim, your standards lower a lot, or if you've been abused a lot, your standards of what's normal lower a lot. When I read that, and you're going to tell me why it's out of context, but I thought, oh, something happened to her, and she doesn't know that's not right what he was doing.
Any number of things have probably happened to her.
Okay.
But yes. And that is obviously, we do it all the time. We constantly say that our standards are much lower.
Right. We put up with a lot of shit as female comics that 32-year-old
female comics do not.
Right, right, right.
And 22-year-old women comics will break you in half.
Right.
When they have the chops.
Yes.
Anyway, so.
When they have 15 minutes. Yes, 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 yes. It takes a while.
Okay. So nobody has listened to the Howard Stern or,
The whole interview?
Yeah, the whole interview, which is classic. I wouldn't listen to Howard Stern if you fucking paid me.
You don't like Howard Stern?
Nope. You know how I like Howard Stern?
What?
Three generations, like somebody saying something was funny on Howard Stern, and then somebody else telling me a story that they heard about something was funny on Howard Stern. That's how I like Howard
you
Stern.
You don't like pure, undiluted Howard Stern.
I cannot possibly listen to Howard Stern talk out of his fucking hole in his face.
Okay. I like Howard.
Me.
I don't have Sirius because I'm not in the car enough, but
did you listen to it back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he was a little grosser back in the day, you know. It wasn't my favorite. I like some of it, and then I'd be like, I don't want to hear lesbian narration of women, you know, doing what he wants them to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Who gives a shit about the nipple size of the woman in front of you?
Right.
But there have been stories told about things that he has said that have made me laugh.
Yes.
So that's how I want my Howard Stern.
Right.
I don't want to. I'm not going to wade through hours of his bullshit to get to the funny thing.
He has evolved and he's been a great interviewer and stuff like that. Yeah. But I mean, again,
have you ever met him?
I did this back like in 2000, maybe, or 99. Benji organized this, you know, like a little, you know, comedy piece called Guess Who's the Real Black Chick?
Benji who?
Benji, what's his last name? He's one of Stern's guys.
Okay.
He's one of the producer there.
Okay.
And so he had a woman who was like maybe 1/8 black.
Right.
And this is basically Robin was going to guess who was actually black. And they, and I was one of them. And I but did not read as black to anybody apparently. But this is
shocking.
This is also in 99 when there, you know, there wasn't a ton of things on the internet. And I really worked really hard. I was like doing a lot of research on the NAACP. Like I wanted to answer a lot of, be able to answer questions. I'm like, maybe they'll think I'm like 1/16.
Right, right.
And as soon as the three of us walked in, Robin immediately was like, it's her. And it was her. So anyway, so it was a very, very quick meeting.
Do you think she could have told the Dalziel? Do you think that Robin could be able to say that woman not black?
I'm sure. I think, you know, I don't know. And
who
this
knows?
Is uncomfortable
and,
territory for
and
both of us.
15 years later, after the thing that you were on. So that's how you've been. So the whole interview, Sarah was saying that she was like, so I said that he did it with me and I was okay with it. But at no time did I ever doubt that the women that he forced
did it without
himself
other people's consent.
Yeah, did it without other people's consent, that I didn't support them and absolutely everything that they can get out of it.
Yeah.
And try to figure out a way for him to fucking deal with it. And so so she's talking and everybody's talking about around and everybody's giving their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, I don't, it's just, so I said, anybody want to hear my two cents? And they did, which makes him so unlike you. And
Oh my God. What an assault. I was listening. I'm leaning in.
You're leaning
like
in.
Like Sheryl Sandberg told me to.
Right.
The very successful never does anything wrong.
Never
and
does
you just,
anything wrong.
You stab me in the face. Right, it's not even in the back. I'm right in front of you.
Fucking eyeball right to your face. And so, but yeah, and of course my theory, you've heard, this is why, is mm-hmm. the theory is that he's got to write the bit. And if he doesn't write the bit, it means that he's never dealt with it.
Right.
And it led to this conversation where a different person, not Sarah, a different person in the room, mm-hmm. talked about leaving Three Arts and then leaving Dave Becky.
Mm-hmm.
And then how Dave Becky seems fine.
Right.
From this.
Wait, the person you're talking about left Three Arts and Dave
left,
Becky?
Yes.
Okay.
And then somebody else stayed with Three Arts but left Dave Becky.
Okay.
And then another person talked about how Chris Rock and Gerard Carmichael.
I saw that.
That was
where did I see that? Was that a text? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And it was they were out to lunch.
Yeah.
In the Lower East Village, I guess. And CK showed up and he just joined their table.
Oh my God.
And Chris Rock said,
this dude doesn't know how to ask for anything.
Nope. No, he does not.
Unbelievable.
And so Chris Rock says, oh, I got to go make a call. I'll be right back. And he never fucking returned.
I love it.
And Gerard Carmichael barely knows him. And so he sat there politely through it.
Hilarious.
Sat through it. And just insane. And then somebody else said that they were working with, and now I will write this name down.
Okay.
Because this guy showed up. And Louis was hanging out at the cellar at the table.
Let me see. Don't write it and then show me.
Oh, right.
Okay, hold on.
So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he shows up to do a set at the cellar,
mm-hmm.
and he walks in and sitting at the table, that table that everybody's mm-hmm. all
the
excited
table.
About.
Yeah.
It's
it
Norton.
Is an exciting table.
Isn't it an exciting
it's
table?
It's very exciting to be included. It's very exciting
it's
to be.
It's always excited to be included.
Yes, we're in the rain, and someone goes, hey, you're allowed to sit under the umbrella. Come on in.
Fair
it's
enough.
Nice.
That would be nice. But anyway, it's Norton. Sitting with CK
mm-hmm.
and they're at the table and that guy walks in and he's like, oh fuck. And he turned around and left because he said he cannot have his picture taken with him.
No.
Because it will hurt his career.
Yes.
And so.
But Norton, it wouldn't affect Norton's career.
No, it wouldn't affect Norton. I wouldn't have even thought of it. The guy who told the story, Sarah Silverman was there and she was like, I didn't even think of that. But I suppose. That would affect
totally,
and she's. Yeah. But Sarah Silverman is buffeted on the goddamn winds of. I mean, the media guys, dirtbag guys don't like her, and they're never gonna like her. It's like dirtbag guys will never like us.
Yeah,
and it's or Kathy Griffin
mm-hmm.
or you know, Wanda Sykes or Leslie Jones.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. They're so. I love fucking Sarah Silverman
mm-hmm.
and the fact that she's like, well, I'm just going to live my life and I'm going to try to be decent.
She's fucking in the number one movie 2 weekends in a row. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh, right. So she's working.
Crushing.
And you saw it.
I saw it. It's great. She's great. It's awesome.
She is great. And so when I left, cause I did a show with her. And, as I walked out, I went, I always got your back, Sarah. And she goes, well, great. And I'm sure it meant something to her. Why wouldn't it mean something to
I know you just attacked me from the front, so it really doesn't mean anything.
Well, what it means is I got your back. But right to your face.
Oh,
I will
too literal.
Fuck with you. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't want the audience deciding they need to take down the comedians, but I don't know, we'll see. I
kind of do.
Really?
I genuinely, every time he gets on stage, unless he's surrounded by women comics.
Right.
That women comic thing is a fantastic idea.
But that's just going to ripple. That's going to start spreading to other things. The audience feels that they should tell comedians. You know what I mean? You can't let these people have an ounce of power. They're fucking savages, the audience.
Next thing you know, pitchforks, torches.
Let's see. Last week on Thursday. So now I've been driving with like a broken taillight for all week. And
right.
I don't have my driver's license. I lost it. So.
Right.
So I'm.
Wow.
You know, yes. I'm being very,
very
you know
on
what?
The edge.
I'm a white person, so I'm not as afraid as I should be of that. I think if I was black, I would be much more worried about the consequences of being pulled over with a broken taillight
and no driver's.
I'm issued one. I just physically lost it. And I have a picture of it when I print it out that I'm ready to show an officer.
Right. And
I don't think that counts.
And no, it doesn't. But I mean, in the end, what we just experienced, though, was the awareness of white privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So there's that. Is that something?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's all happening for America now.
It's a step in the right direction.
So I had a show in, this club, you know this club.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So were the
Why
owner,
were you there?
Oh, owner's a little handsy.
Right.
A lot handsy. So I kind of just stopped, you know, pursuing that club, but it was a fundraiser.
Me too. Oh, really?
And,
probably something.
It was a fundraiser for the various terrible things that are happening in California. And like almost no one showed up. That was a long drive. There was nobody there. The show was fun. And the guy that produced it was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what, you know, fuck this city. They didn't show up for a fundraiser. And then the club owner goes, hey, you know what? You haven't been here in a while. And I'm like, yeah.
Nope, I am
not.
And
he goes, we got to have you back for a girl show or something.
Nope.
And I said, I can do regular shows.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. And then he left and I left. I mean, I did my show and I left. It was like, oh, this is like how the 90s were all the time. Like that guy is stuck frozen in amber in 1992. But that's how they all were back then, you know?
Yeah.
Like they all felt like they were throwing you a bone for giving you shit. You know, just a piece of shit show, but they felt like they were doing you a favor. And you had to act like they were, or they would think you were ungrateful and wouldn't book you.
And wouldn't book you at all.
Right.
But that is the greatest exchange in the world. We should have you back for a girls' night. I can do regular shows.
Right.
And then gone.
Yeah,
then he's out. What happened with me, I was with Bamford in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And it was run by...
Where? Denver?
Yeah, it was outside of Denver. It was in the middle of the Rocky Mountain National Park.
Wow.
And so it was gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
My least favorite kind of hotel.
What? Bed and breakfast?
Second least favorite. Actually, a bed and breakfast might actually be better than this. I don't
I'm
like
just
it
remembering
where you...
The,
yeah, bed and breakfast.
The clown statues
terrible.
That we had to stay with. That terrified me.
Well, the fact that you had actual people, mannequin people, in your room.
Mannequin people. I think there was
a horse.
And then
a carousel horse.
A horsey?
It was all carousel people and horses.
Right.
It was creepy as fuck.
Right.
Anyway, so no, this actually is worse than the bed and breakfast.
Okay.
Because it's where it's several buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very beautiful.
Like
once
a lodge?
Yeah, sort of like a series of lodges,
right?
And it's beautiful once you get to where you're getting,
sure.
But it always takes 40 minutes, and you've brought your luggage into the big building,
right.
That you had to walk through,
right?
And then you log in, and then they're like, oh, it's actually a quarter of a mile that way, and you're like, okay, do you have a bellman? Because I don't know if you know this, I'm over it, and. And Marie and I, we drove almost 2 hours from Denver to Estes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, to Estes Park. And it was beautiful and it was lovely. And, but we, so I was like, is there a bellman? And she goes, yeah, I think I can get someone to help you with your luggage. And so he shows up and I was like, can you bring it over to the other building? And he was like, well, I'd have to load it in my car. And I go, uh-huh.
You mean you're expected to walk where another person would take a car to...
Well, we would have had to load it into our car.
I see. Okay.
As well. Or walk, because we did walk at one point, but it was 28 degrees.
Oh, my God.
And so I said, I literally, like my dad was alive. And he is. Wait a minute.
What's happening?
I was like, I will make it worth your while.
Oh, my God. That is so Cation.
It felt like a very Cation-like moment, because I was like, and then I said, and Marie goes, so do we have to... bring our luggage? And I said, no, No, he's going to drive over. Here's your key. Here's my key. And we went over and we loved
it. I don't mind camping, but not when I'm doing comedy. Yeah, I want a separate camping trip where I wear, you know,
it would be
the appropriate shoes to be trekking all over the place to get to my room.
It would be an amazing place to go on a vacation.
Wasn't Aspen like that one year?
Yes.
Yes. There was like a main check-in, and then you were in a building so far away.
And you had to follow
steps and
steps and lighted things.
Yes.
In Key West, there was one of them. Mm. And they believe they're doing you a favor because it is very beautiful.
Right.
But they don't remember that you're at work.
Yeah.
And you have a bunch of BS to schlep.
Yeah, look, and I'm in performer mode. I'm in diva mode. I need to be treated like a princess.
Wait,
okay?
I'm going to refer to myself as the talent if you people don't fuck off.
Yes, exactly. Please.
But the shows were amazing.
Yeah.
And Maria has taken to asking absolutely everyone who, everywhere she goes, how many women do you book? Do you have any women headliners?
God.
How many
it's
women
just
are you
all
booking?
Out and aggressive?
Yeah, yeah.
I love
just
it.
All out, just going, so how many, what is it like? And the booker, nice guy.
Yeah.
And one of the good guys, this guy, do you know Mike from Comedy Works?
I don't.
He does the theater side. Wendy does the club side.
Okay.
And they've all been sold the same bill of goods, the same rhetoric, right?
Yeah.
And the rhetoric is, cause, and he said it, and he goes, well, you know me, I'm just, I book whoever fills the room. And
oh,
I said,
my God, I'm so tired of this shit.
Well, because I was like, and I mentioned a name.
I
said, you keep
bring
bringing
up the calendar and tell me this motherfucker fills your room. I don't think so.
I was like, these two guys, and I told these two guys by name, and I don't want to lose these guys' work because they're fine.
Yes,
they're perfectly
everyone's fine.
Everyone's fine.
Right. Yeah.
So I was like, you book those two guys every year. And they get to build a following,
right.
And then they can fill the room.
Yeah.
You could do that with women. And I was telling him, because she had brought it up, so then we're talking about it, and I go, that I had asked people on this show to send me the calendars, and that it ended up being every single one was six women headliners a year. And I don't know, this is even worse, nine people of color, and that includes Black, brown, Asian, and gay.
Wow.
And they're not even of a color.
No, they're rainbows.
Yeah.
They're every
they're
color.
They're all the rainbows.
Yes.
And if you booked a black woman, that means that it was eight. So
wow.
I was like, there's just...
What about that stat in Houston? Someone sent calendars for three clubs in Houston. And was it in like 3 months there wasn't a single female headliner?
Yeah.
For three clubs?
For all three clubs.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Awful.
But weirdly enough, nine women at the Birmingham, Alabama Stratus Dome or Stratosphere or whatever.
Stardome.
Stardome. Yeah. Nine. So three more than the national average. Well done.
Interesting. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's a tough room if you're not Southern, in my opinion. It was for me.
Oh, I bet.
But it's a good room if you're Southern or, you know how to work it. But
it's kind of a learned skill to get in there.
Yes.
And to do it just once, by the time it's Saturday, you've learned it. Have you ever...
it's one of those rooms where James Gregory was the king. You know,
oh, right.
He was like the Southern act that only worked the South. And he would do this.
Those guys that only worked the South.
God, they made money.
And they murder.
They didn't save it.
Right. They didn't.
so many comics made so much money. They
just blew it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He would. I heard, I never saw him, but he would do the same act and people would request jokes that they'd already heard 300 times because they just wanted to hang out with
him. Like Freebird.
He was a personality, total personality, and it wasn't like, we want to hear your new stuff. Like, we want to see you. We want to hear your voice. Say things we've already heard it.
Right, which is like a band, and it's so wild.
Yeah, that's the kind of crowd I need to cultivate. go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you, have you ever played Atlantic City? That's the only town.
Once.
Me too.
Very depressing.
And by the end, it was the only, first and only time in all the, and this happened probably 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I was featuring.
Yeah.
And they cut my time.
Oh.
I've never had anyone ever cut my time or me not do well.
Right.
And it was a Monday through Sunday.
Right.
And on
was
Wednesday.
Was it Bob Kephart? Was it the comedy stuff?
Yeah. And by the Wednesday, I had learned how to do the set.
Yeah.
And
did you keep adding a minute every single show?
Until the end of the week
slowly
again?
Slowly crawl back to your time? No.
No. I think, you know what I think I did? I think he cut me, and I was only supposed to do 25, and he cut me to 15.
Whoa.
And I was literally almost hyperventilating because it had never happened before.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
And I had to call. I called Karen Rontowski, and I was like, "Am I a hack? What the fuck just happened?" And she said that room, and she used to do it 4 times a year.
Oh my god.
But it was steady money.
I know. But they put you up in this hotel and it had a Murphy bed.
Yeah.
Those things snap and kill people. They do. I was terrified. I like put extra stuff on the edge to weight it down.
I don't think they do.
They do. Look up Murphy bed deaths. Google it. You'll never sleep in one again.
As you drive around Los Angeles without a turn signal. But, Rontowski said the best way to do, and here's a hint, if you ever make it to Atlantic City, I was to do 25 minutes. She said, do 45 minutes in 25 minutes, open swearing, and swear more than you've ever swore before in your life.
Wow. So and you didn't have to be squeaky clean or anything?
No.
Oh.
No. And Jimmy J.J. Walker was emceeing so that he could fuck it up immediately. Such a nice guy. Such a fascinating guy off stage.
What a weird career.
And what a weird career.
I mean, all he has to do is... He doesn't even have to write jokes. All he has to do is hire people to write 45 for him. And he could headline any club. Mm-hmm. No problem. Sell it out for. I mean, he must be in his 80s now or something, right?
Yeah, he was in the 70s and the weird late 60s, early 70s from the look of him. And he had amazing stories that I was like, why aren't you just telling those?
Why doesn't he just tell those stories?
Just tell those stories. That's why people came out.
That's what Martin Short and Steve Martin are doing in Las Vegas now.
Yeah.
They have a show where they just tell stories.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's it. And he told a joke in the most unsophisticated comedy town I've ever been in my life, Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience was full of rage because it was the joke about that I heard first in 1986 in Madison, Wisconsin. And it was how there was Braille on the ATM and the drive-thru. And then there was a Stevie Wonder.
Right.
And then there was a Stevie Wonder reference, which made me very aware that there are no new blind famous people to use in a joke.
That's because people are killing their blind children. Yes. It's wholesale murder of the blind.
No, we've cured blindness. Neither of those two things are true, people listening. No.
But Stevie Wonder could see as a child, right? He went blind like... early in his youth, but he did have some sight for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You're not listening.
No, I'm done.
So then this weekend, so I do Thursday at the girls club.
Yeah.
And then, cause I'm trying to take every,
all nude.
I'm trying to do shows every single night. Cause the Conan tour is coming up. And there's this one chunk
isn't it next week?
It's next week. Yeah. When this drops,
yeah.
We start the next night. And
Seattle?
We start in Denver, but we're going we're going out on Tuesday and not coming back till Sunday. So we're staying over an extra night someplace at a 4-star hotel.
Woohoo! You'll see that Mike guy.
Oh, okay.
Because I think he's running. I think he's running.
He's running. Okay, yeah. Great.
And what I love, because at the end of it, he was like, he literally seemed to get it. Just so you know, he was really great.
That's cool.
Anyway, so you're doing Denver first.
Okay. So anyway, I'm doing a ton of spots, right? So I take this one, it was a huge drive. I didn't feel like doing it anyway because I usually try to spend a little more time with my son when I'm going to be gone for a while. But
yep.
It's hammer time.
You need
time,
the
right?
set. Yeah.
So then on Friday, I booked this thing a long time ago. There's this booker named DNA, and he is a real person.
He is a real person. Doesn't he do the Santa Cruz?
Yes, yeah. But he first emailed me. I'm like, what is this? Am I being contacted by a unicorn? Like, I don't trust a name.
I had to
cancel. That's not a name.
Right. I was booked in Santa Cruz, and then he had to cancel it because he had some sort of personal thing that he ended unfortunate. Yeah.
Yes. But he booked this gig in Chico, and I took it a long time ago, and I was reminded of it, and I was like, oh my God, yes, I still had that Saturday open. I guess I didn't even, it didn't feel real because I didn't know him. And so then, of course, the campfire happens just a couple weeks ago, and the show's still on, and there's no hotel now because there's people are camping in the streets, so there's no hotels anywhere.
Right.
So Phil Griffiths, who is a comic from Half Moon Bay, goes, well, he's emceeing or he's featuring a Chico, and he runs a room in Half Moon Bay at a brewery on Friday night. So he goes, can you come do the Friday and then we can drive together to Chico.
Okay.
And I have long wanted to go to Half Moon Bay because Abbas, my family friends, Abbas and Janet, who Abbas is Iranian, and he and my dad worked together in the 60s in Tehran. And I always wanted to see them since my dad died and just talk to them about my dad.
Yeah.
And he's like 85 and she's 81. And you know, like, I don't have much time to do this. Right.
Right.
So I'm like, yes. So we do the show, and the show's fun. It's at a brewery. And then I have brunch with Abbas and Janet the next morning, and we talk and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like I live with this one who watches TV all the time and is in constant pain. And then to see someone her exact age who walks like a mile a day on the beach and belongs to book clubs and has friends. And I'm like, fuck, why can't she age like Janet? I don't get it.
Well,
whatever. So then we drive up to, and Phil did all the driving. I didn't have to do anything. It was awesome.
That is awesome.
So we go to Chico, and it's the show's in this big room, and it's not full, and people are still shell shocked. They're like in a daze. It reminded me of, say, September 25th.
Right.
Right? Like a couple weeks after 9/11 where you're like, okay, the fire's out. The damage has been done.
We clearly have survived this.
We survived
it. What's next?
But every day you hear a new story, and everyone that I talked to either personally knew someone that had died or knew someone that knew someone. Like it's a smaller community than New York City.
Yeah.
In New York City, you are always like 1 degree away from somebody who had died, right? Or two at the most. And so it was strange. It wasn't like the best show I've ever had.
Right.
But I think it was one of those where it was something for people who needed something.
Yes.
So, and I mean, there was no tourists. Everyone was from there.
Right.
Because why would a tourist come to Chico right now?
No.
And Chico
That's a sick fucking tourist.
Chico is apparently just being overrun with refugees. They're refugees from paradise.
Yeah.
They're American refugees. And the schools are now full of these kids, and there's no housing for them. And all of a sudden, Chico was this like little tiny college town. It's just traffic all the time. Like, it's just full of people.
Yeah.
And they're not used to it. So there's, you know, whatever tension resentment that you see maybe in Germany with Syrian refugees, you might even see it in Chico with paradise refugees.
Right.
It's just like, who are these people? And I'm done feeling sorry for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still smell the fire in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. It wasn't like...
Where's Half Moon Bay again?
It's south of San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about a 5-hour drive. It's a nice drive.
Okay.
And so then drove back after the show. He dropped me off in Sacramento. I got a hotel in Sacramento.
Oh.
And then I flew out of Sacramento to come back here because Mark Maron asked me to open for him at the Ice House.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So that was, I had to change a lot of my plans to get back earlier. And it was fun. It was, I think I was pretty tired from the weekend of traveling and stuff.
Yeah.
And I barely made my plane too. Like,
oh my God.
So it was, you know, the thing I do with Southwest, if I'm leaving out of Burbank, I get like multiple plane tickets because if you don't use them on Southwest, you don't get dinged financially.
Oh, right.
They go into your travel bank,
yeah,
and you'll just use them later.
Yeah.
So I get like the flight I hope to make.
Right.
And the one that, you know, I will make.
Okay.
If worst case scenario, but that the one I will make.
You know, I don't think I really knew that that's exactly what you were doing. That's fascinating.
Every time I go to San Francisco, that's where I do it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Like if I'm at the Punchline, because mm-hmm. I don't want to ask to get out of work early, but sometimes we do on Friday. So mm-hmm. I'm like, if we get it at 3, I can make the 4:10
mm-hmm.
that goes Burbank to SFO. And then I'm like, if we get out at 4, there was like a 6 o'clock that got to Oakland at 7. Now,
right.
Getting Oakland to Half Moon Bay is a lot longer drive, but it would have been tricky.
Right.
So my fingers were crossed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it all worked out. Out of 3.
Yeah.
And I drove, I had my stuff on my car, and it's a 10-minute drive from the studio to Burbank Airport, and I valeted it, you know, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I ran, and it was plenty of time. So I got there. So anyway, so then I go to the Ice House, and it's packed. Totally packed.
Two shows? Just one.
He's just doing one. He's just fucking around, you know, working some new stuff out. And I did like 20 up front. But, I haven't been getting a lot of spots at the Ice House.
Yeah.
And Bob Fischer was there. And I'd never met Bob Fischer before.
I always work with Jan.
Yeah, well, Bob owns the club. He's not there very much.
Okay.
But he's there for Maren.
Okay.
So Mark Maron's like, you got to use her. And, you know, and then
right.
I had a good set. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to tell Jan. So maybe I'll get more spots there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it was a fun show. But I was nervous because for some reason I got nervous because I was waiting in the back. And I think he thought I already like started walking towards the stage where, you know.
Hosting?
No.
Okay.
He had just come in through those back doors and
okay.
said, hey, I'm like, oh, you're going to watch. Okay. Well, I think if he had waited 30 more seconds, I would have assumed he was still in the green room. But now I know he's in the back of the room.
Right.
And this chunk I'm working on, I had like a breakthrough idea about it. But I'm
now
like,
you have to work on it.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Do I work on it now when Bob Fischer's watching? And you know, and I tried to, but I had to do it at a certain point in the bit, and I fucking went to the next joke out of habit. And I'm like, ah, I can't do it now. It has to be in the certain order.
You know,
Jackie. That's it.
Was that the story?
Yeah.
Okay. But I think you want to work on the bit. You have to work on the bit that you're working on, whether or not Johnny Carson has come back from the dead to watch you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, if you try to talk yourself out of it, it'll make a grumpier set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
I satisfied all, like, part of me.
Like, you hit the beat.
I did enough to kill. And then I was like, part of me's like, right. And I worked on this stuff. So I was fine afterwards. I mean, somebody was saying, asking on our text chain about, you know, doing new material at a place where they were new. And it's like, it's always okay to just kill and totally establish yourself.
Yeah.
I get annoyed that I'm like, I still have to establish myself. Are you fucking kidding me? Sometimes you do.
Right. So sometimes you kill to establish yourself, and sometimes you kill because everyone before you was working on stuff. And you're like, this audience deserves to hear jokes.
Yeah.
They deserve. And I'll take the bullet on that because these people, I want them to come back and see more comedy.
Right.
You feel, in their damn
you
lives.
Feel, you feel their restlessness.
Yeah.
Because they haven't heard a well-constructed joke yet.
Right. Right. I had so I've got this big chunk that I have a huge breakthrough on, and I kept forgetting to work on it because they were just 25s. You know, when I opened for Maria, they're just 25s. And, but it's great. It's like just what I need, because I'm about to go do 15 headline sets, right? I'm about to go on the road.
Yeah.
It'll be this week that I had to go to Indiana. I'm doing Bloomington.
Oh, cool.
And then the week after Bloomington, I'm doing Acme.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after Acme, I'm doing Ann Arbor.
That's a nice 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Bam,
so
bam,
that's
bam.
15 headline sets. And so by, you know, and I did Salt Lake, you know, and those are the first two.
Yeah.
And then this week we're going, I mean, this will already have dropped, but Tarrytown, where I will go look for your family. And then
no, Albany,
Huntington.
Albany.
She's already been to Albany. I'm going to Tarrytown. It's okay. Tarrytown and Huntington.
Oh, my people never went to Tarrytown. Okay. Albany.
Where did they land?
Firefighters. Okay.
And, all right. So, but it's this whole thing about just, there's no, the problem is I, so I bought head, highlighters, and I listened to my Salt Lake City set, and then I did, oh, I did a 45-minute set over at Second City last week.
Oh, how'd it go?
It was good for what it was. Everybody had a really good time. Everybody, I was psyched.
Okay. How many people were there?
35.
That's fine.
It was fine. And the room only seats 50.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And I did 48 minutes, and it was a mess, but it needed to be. It needed to be a mess because I didn't have an order.
Right.
And I've only done two long sets at Salt Lake. And so what I'm hoping for is, because I don't want to do, I have to do the spooky reading girl bid to sell the shirts.
Right.
At least for the next 2 weeks.
Until you run out of inventory. Yes.
Well, yes. And, at Second City, I wasn't selling merch. So, I just ran the set as it would be now, the 45 as it is now, right?
Yeah.
45 to 50. And I forgot to do jokes and I forgot lines, but I have it recorded so I can, and I came up with things in the minute and it's all that. So it was great. But now I've realized that my closer doesn't work as a closer. So like the tantric sex joke is my old closer.
Right.
And that's fine. I can go there if I have to, but I don't want to. Right. I need a new closer.
Yeah.
And I thought the Viking portrait thing would be strong enough to close on. And it is not. And it leads to like three other jokes, which I could flip those three jokes, put them before the Viking and try to close on the Viking. Maybe that'll strengthen it. But I don't know what the fuck.
Wait, it's connected to three other jokes?
Well, that's what ruins it closing.
Well, I don't know.
It just leads,
I don't know the
it
actual
well, it leads
but
into
can
it.
You, is there some sort of callback to that you can close on? From
Dan Telfer was texting me because he saw that set and he kept texting me callback ideas.
I mean, if you've done 90% of the legwork and you can close on a callback, why not reward yourself with a little vacation?
Right. Have a little sunshine right there at the end of your set. And but yeah, it was, I will find it. But what I want, there are some things, because I did that set, I was like, so much of this is heavy, heavy topics, right?
Right.
Like the big issues,
right,
of sexism and politics and racism. And I was like, can I please write another joke about umbrellas or some fucking thing? I just need a...
It sounds like it's time for a dick joke, Jackie.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Ooh, my sex of the magi joke.
Maybe.
Tis the season. I've done it twice and it fucking destroyed. So
is it on an album?
Nope. Brand new.
Yes. It's sitting right there.
It's right there. Don't think no. The sex of the magi joke and the witness joke, my new witness joke. Those are both great. Maria likes these long, convoluted. She's like, "Are you doing that in that?" And I'm like, "No, that's a story in the middle of." And she's like, "Yeah, you should totally do that." We're doing pretty good.
Oh my God,
47.
47?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best news I've had.
Your rant about...
I was rear-ended.
About
and I
Chico.
Didn't cause the accident.
Exactly. Now, this week, I'll be in Bloomington. And I'm psyched about Bloomington. And...
You'll have done Bloomington?
No. I'm off to...
Yeah.
And I was like, Jared, why is Indiana harder to fly to than anywhere I've ever been in my life? The whole world.
Right.
What was the last time you flew to Indiana? There's no nonstops.
There's no nonstops to Indianapolis. No, not at all. Unless
I wonder, maybe LAX to Indianapolis is a nonstop, but for some reason they don't leave. They either, you're taking a red eye,
right,
which I will not do,
right,
or you're taking.
Because then you have to get someone from the club to pick you up at 3 a.m. and you got to check into the hotel. They don't want to do that.
They don't want to do that. And the hotel is an hour and a half away because you land in Indianapolis, you got to drive to Bloomington. And so what I did was I'm going to rent a car.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, because the next day I'm doing Bob and Tom.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going
to
do.
So you have to drive back? You're doing it on Friday morning?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I know. You have to wake up so early.
Right. It'll be one of those early radio things, but and I did it because I wanted to fill the room.
Wait, are you?
And I forgot that it was Christmas and it'll fill anyway.
Oh. It'll fill with holiday people. It might not be as fun, but they might buy more stuff.
Right. And I brought everything. Everything to Colorado. I sold so much shit.
Really? Oh my God.
And Maria's stuff too. I was like, because I talked her into getting merch.
Yeah.
And so she has this weird tea towel that is gorgeous and amazing. And I was just like, buy a tea towel. And then here's all of my stuff. I brought all 4 t-shirts, 3 of my albums, and
pins. In CD form?
Yeah, 3 CDs.
And people bought CDs.
Oh, yeah. You got to bring CDs.
All right.
They're easy to bring.
All right.
Because they're light. Even if you bring 10, that's $200.
Dude, that's the other thing. I'm in Chico, and I have a book that I'm trying to sell called Dead People Suck. I couldn't even sell it. I couldn't even say
you
the phrase.
Even face.
I couldn't even do it.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this book. It comes out on the day of a mass shooting,
right.
And then I'm at a gig where 80 people just died last week,
right.
And 100 more are missing.
Yeah.
I can't even sell my book.
That's
clearly I'm suffering more than anyone.
But I do like the perspective. It seems a really good.
All your sympathy should lie with me. That's what I'm saying.
Clearly. And then what else? Oh, and then in between, and I think I mentioned this last time, is in between Acme and Ann Arbor, I'm going to go look at my dad.
Yeah.
And and my brother, a couple of my brothers will be there. Andy's going to fly in for like 2 days because it's over Christmas Day. And so we're going to go on a weird sleigh ride. But sleigh rides in Milwaukee are a nickel.
Oh, my God.
It was, they said, it's
literally a nickel?
No, $12.
Okay.
For a sleigh ride.
When are we going to take?
VIP.
$14. Oh, my God.
Guess what you get for the extra $2?
Hot chocolate?
Yep. And a glow stick.
Those are bad for the environment.
So is humanity.
When are we going to record podcasts?
I don't know, but I know I'm not doing 2 tonight.
No, me neither. Maybe we'll have to do some.
I have a set after
we'll have
this.
To Skype. Yeah, me too. I'm at Little Joy tonight.
Oh, are you at Little Joy?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm doing UCB Sunset at 10:30.
Ooh, I'm late. I'm at 9 o'clock at Little Joy.
Is that Sam Varela's?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 9 to 10:30, but I'm up early.
No, maybe I'll see if I can horn in.
Horn in.
Horn in.
Horn it.
Except for I was going to go home first.
Go home.
Yeah, maybe I'll go home.
It's the holidays. Put some twinkly lights up.
You put all the twinkly lights up.
Dude,
your house looks amazing.
I like lights.
You're not wrong.
I want it to look magical.
And the fact that you did them is great.
Well, they look pretty sloppy. They're all over the place.
They're awesome. They look great. What do you got?
I don't know. I can't.
You can't read your own notes?
No.
Well. Are you watching?
I think I said everything.
I'm pretty close to him. Hey, what do you think? I got this
collapse.
From FabFitFun. Do you like an exercise
what is
squeezy
it?
Ball?
No.
I don't know.
You know what? I buy those things and I never use them.
Will you throw that out for me? There you go.
Jackie, you know I can't throw things away.
I know. I know. So
I'm going to take it to Goodwill and somebody else won't.
Oh, good.
Was this a gift from an ad?
Yeah. It was in the FabFitFun box.
This I think is you're not supposed... a squeezy ball. This is a hard ball.
I think you roll it on your foot. To work.
I see.
It's got directions.
Okay. You know what? I don't need directions with a ball. Okay.
It's
thank
a ball.
You.
Does it bounce? I doubt. Doubtful. So.
I wish we had Secret Santas. I would totally Secret Santa somebody at work with this thing.
You should just give it to them. Can you throw this out for me? There are so many cool things that we're in because I get a lot of free stuff for the ads for Dork Forest.
Right.
And it's great. But some of it, I'm never going to. Like they had an eye mask. I don't ever wear an eye mask.
No.
But one of my guests on the Dork Forest, her boyfriend wears eye masks.
Hmm.
And so please take
sure.
it. Go hit the. And I gave a bunch of creams, like sort of like masks and stuff to Bamford. She likes a mask. I kept the eyeshadow and lipstick because I never buy makeup. Buying makeup is incredibly stressful for me.
I think I find applying it to be somewhat stressful. I definitely prefer the eyeshadow that has the exact replica of the eye on it, and it tells you what goes on the lid and the crease and the top. I don't like to improvise that because I do it.
What are they, the granimals of
I don't
makeup?
Know. You know, you've seen that. Oh, of course you have.
Or are they just stacked in a little thing that says this is clearly the lightest?
No,
and it goes on top.
They're put out in the form of an eye, and not the. I mean, the eyelid and then the crease and
yeah.
The, yes, Jackie, that's how half of the eyeshadows in the world are made.
I only get ones that are circles. They're circles in a square, and there's no photos. There's no pictures.
Well, no wonder you're having troubles.
No, I'm fine once I have...
The eyeshadow that maps out the face, the topography of the face,
and
tells you where to put your browns and your beiges, that's what you got to use.
I was told I'm supposed to put the darkest in the crease,
yeah.
The second darkest on the top, and then the lightest underneath
the brow.
Eyebrow.
Right.
Why would you need someone to remind you of that?
She's nice.
Oh, it is nice.
You know what? I get tired sometimes. All the time.
You can have nice things. It's did you go swimming today?
No, the pool's closed for 2 weeks.
Oh, shit.
I'm in a terrible mood. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't know either.
I mean, I did the elliptical at work, but that's not what I'm going to do for 2 weeks. But next week I'll be touring.
Right.
And maybe there'll be pools everywhere I go.
There might
be
a pool at the Ritz-Carlton. Except for it won't be a lap pool. Lap pool.
No, but I like the phrase lap tool. But
wait, Louis C.K. again?
I'll try to find a nice lap swim pool. Dude, we've got to be close. And we haven't even done Comic of the Week yet.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
We forgot Comic of the Week.
Well, we have time.
Yeah, we do.
Lisa
Traeger.
Yes.
Which she's a delight. New York comic, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. She just did some kind of special.
Well, she was in that article. Like,
yeah, she was in the article in the New York
with
Times.
With Blotnick and James.
Right. And I forget who. I mean, guys can find this out. But she did part of a special, The Incorrigibles, I think. Or
oh, yeah?
Something like that. She was part of, I think, a trio of comics that were, being raunchy.
Oh, is she raunchy?
Well, she might be. I think she might have been in this, but she's very funny. And she was one of the early.
Do you know what her Twitter handle is?
A glitter cheese.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's glitter cheese.
Yes.
Hilarious. Lisa Traeger.
She was also one of the earlier female comics slamming a friend of ours who claimed that she was the only one that had World War II jokes in her act and then got hammered by every female comic. On Twitter for a long time, but she was one of the early hammerers, and I appreciated her. I think it was drunken. What?
You think?
What?
That's the note to you.
Yes.
Is that the comic who thinks that...
Oh, yeah. You know what? At the end of the day, we're all friends, Jackie. We're all comics. When we're in our 80s and we're at the comedy club, nursing
sky.
Home.
Okay.
We're all going to be, we'll have had our little feuds and tiffs and we'll come together and probably still
have you ever
dislike
had
her
any
intensely.
Feuds? What? Have you ever had a real feud with a comic? Like a throwdown, Jets, Sharks.
No, but I did work with this guy. I told you this when I stayed in the condo in Austin with this guy.
Maybe.
And he was a total dick to me. And I don't want to write his name in my notebook. And
well,
he ended up going, nowhere. He's one of those guys where you're like,
oh, yeah.
What are you doing now?
Right.
He was the headliner.
Oh, of course. And
it was the 90s.
Yeah, so I heard a story about a comic who, it's not a Me Too story.
Oh, right.
It's just a shitty boyfriend husband story.
I've heard he's the shitty boyfriend / husband. Yeah, I've heard that.
It's so is my father. It turns out that's why I'm more tolerant of, it all seems to be relatively consensual except for when you're a shitty husband and you're cheating.
Yeah.
Or you're a shitty wife and you're cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what... that doesn't feel like Me Too. That feels like...
It's not illegal. I mean, I don't think Aziz fell under that category as well. You know, I felt like...
I think infidelity is infidelity and sexual abuse and harassment is something else.
Yeah, different thing. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that it's not horrible and you should probably not go out with that guy.
Yes.
And so
get the word out. Some people you don't date.
Some people you don't date. And
especially if they're comics, just don't date them. And why don't you save yourself a lot of trouble?
20 years ago.
Yeah.
He wanted to hang out.
Oh, he with you?
Yeah.
Oh.
And but not but I didn't always get that people wanted the people.
Yeah.
That men wanted to wanted to do it.
Right, right, right. You didn't pick up on obvious signs like,
yeah, like
erections.
Like erections and, hey, why don't we go over to this dark area and make out? But I mean, if they would have said, let's go to this dark area and make out, I would have gotten it.
Yes.
But everything short of that.
Right, right, right.
Sadly,
you
I did not.
You need it spelled out.
Right.
Like, I need eyeshadow spelled out for me.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Sometimes things need to be said. So we're going to go to Sketchfest. We're going to also do Boston.
Yes, we have a date, January 19th. If you're anywhere near Boston.
Cambridge.
Within an hour. Please come
please.
To our show. We're going to do
a Middle Eastern restaurant.
Yes. And we're going to do stand-up. Both of us are going to do
yep.
stand-up. And then we're going to do an hour-long podcast
mm-hmm.
and probably complain about our sets.
Right. And yeah, so I think we should do each do 30s. Is that right?
By the way, I'm taking a fucking red eye to do this thing. I'm taking a red eye.
That's
I'm
the
gonna
17th.
Feel
19th.
It's the 19th. I'm flying out on the 18th on a Friday night, and I'm flying back on the 20th. I'm missing time with my child. I will be exhausted. I will feel like shit. You better show up and
in other
see
news,
that.
On the 27th, we'll be in San Francisco. Are you going to take a red eye to San Francisco?
No, I'm going to buy 7 plane tickets and see which one I use.
I'm leaving.
It's always exciting. Are we done?
Yeah.